सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।
Once again, we see an institutional clash taking place in Pakistan. It seems most of our history has been one of institutional clash. It almost seems to happen every year. And again, the judiciary has been called in to try and solve the problem. We have seen the judiciary do it time and again, and unfortunately, it has not measured up to the task. Frequently, the judiciary has let us down, not only in terms of how it sees the institutional clash and how it adjudicates the institutional clash, but also in terms of administering justice in the country. People wait too long, cases pile up, and unfortunately, nobody is satisfied with the way the judiciary works. Now, I want to do a series of podcasts on this because I think it is an important subject, and our economists seldom seem to understand it and talk about it. But I'll get into it in first trying to frame the subject of law and economics, which I've grown to admire and appreciate a lot in my study of economics. Law and economics arose in the University of Chicago somewhere in the 40s, 50s, 60s. The key proponents were people like Ronald Coase, Richard Posner, and Gary Becker, and many others, I suppose. What law and economics says is that economic analysis has a lot to say on how laws should be framed and how they should be administered as well as adjudicated. It began with Ronald Coase's article, The Problem of Social Cost. Coase was looking at the problem of externalities, where, for example, the famous example is that of a laundry which tries to clean up clothes, and next to the laundry is established a coal plant, which is energy plant or whatever, which is letting out a lot of coal waste, and therefore creating an environment where the clothes cannot be cleaned properly because the coal fumes from the energy plant would affect the laundry. Now the question was, what should be done? Should the coal plant be moved because the laundry was there first? Or what is the solution? Ronald Coase came along and said that if the property rights are properly assigned, in that the laundry has the right to clean clothes and the coal plant also has the right to be able to operate but without affecting the laundry, they will come to a conclusion where the coal plant may buy out the laundry or compensate in some ways for them to move on and keep doing their business. It is not enough just to say it because the laundry was there, move the coal plant. This raised the issue of property rights. Now, what are property rights? Property rights are the ability to own something, but not only just own it, but to know what you can do with it and how far you can go to do what you want to do with that property. So, for example, if I own a piece of land and the law says I can't do anything with it, I have no real right because there's nothing I can do with it. Nobody wants the property. There's no value in that property. So the question is how the rights are assigned, what they mean, what you can do with those rights, how you can trade those rights. For example, if I own a piece of land, I have to sell it, and the patwari takes months and days for me to sell it. It slows down my transactions, creates a problem. So economists contended that laws, including the Constitution, must understand economics, or alternatively, economic analysis must inform the law of the consequence of the law of the Constitution. It must inform the Constitution of the consequence of the Constitution, and that the process of defining laws or constitutions must take into account the economic consequences of those laws and constitutions. And therefore, there's a whole literature out there on the economic analysis of law and economic analysis of the Constitution, which tries to argue that we must frame constitutions, laws, etc., to maximize efficiency of transactions in the economy. Now, this is a very important subject. We must think about it. What every law must look at, how it's facilitating economic transactions. Ultimately, GDP or economic growth or whatever you want to think about, output, etc., is a set of economic transactions. Underneath the transactions are production and consumption decisions. and production and consumption decisions will determine welfare. Therefore, think about it. The legal system, how it affects transactions, will determine welfare. Transactions must be maximized, made efficient, made speedy. That's the point of the legal system, an efficient legal system. But a legal system with archaic laws will slow down transactions, therefore slow down growth in GDP. This is what cost of doing business, these indicators of doing business that you see from the World Bank, or the competitiveness index from the World Economic Forum. This is what they are measuring. Now, when you have a legal framework that is devised properly with proper economic analysis, you are creating conditions for economic growth. Now, we talk a lot about institutions. Thanks to Why Nations Fail, or the books, this thing has become common even in Pakistan. But I think very few people understand that the legal framework is a very important institution. And the legal framework is framed by the parliament. Therefore, parliament is a very important institution. But the process of making laws is very important. And I'm afraid our parliament does not get informed by law and economics or the economic analysis of law. And therefore, some of our laws are very archaic and very poorly written. But then, the legal system has to be administered by the bureaucracy, the administrative system, and the regulatory system. Now, those systems also must recognize the value of economic analysis of law, because those systems will also determine how transactions take place. For example, if the administration and the regulatory process sets up processes that slow down transactions, it will again have a negative consequence for economic growth. Because transactions as a multiplier will create economic growth in the economy. More transactions, better transactions, faster transactions will create more value. And that is what we are looking for. So the administrative and regulatory processes are very important, which is why I talk a lot about civil service reform, and we need to focus on that a lot. Now, let's think about it. If there is a dispute in a transaction, it has to go to the judicial system. Judiciary, if it is not learned in the economic analysis of law, if it does not understand the economic consequences of their decisions, will destroy value, not create value. And I'm afraid I'm going to give you examples of that in a few of the later podcasts. The judiciary causes damage when it doesn't understand economics and when it doesn't understand that the way it works will destroy value. So, for example, if the judiciary slows down the settlement of disputes, it is holding up the destruction of value. I have cases in the judiciary personally, for example, and these are economic cases, which are affecting my life at least, and the life of others, I would say, for 10, 15 years in the court, they're not even being heard, not even understood. The judge has a two-minute hearing and doesn't know what he's doing. There's a property in front of the Karachi Sheraton, which has been in dispute for decades, has not been decided. International hotel here on the Upper Mall in Lahore has also been under dispute for a long period of time. When you have key properties like that under dispute, what does that mean? That means that the alternative use of that property is delayed. Those properties could be generating a huge amount of activity. For example, people could put up a shopping mall, their hotel, their offices, their flats, there. Those activities would create jobs, would create value, would increase GDP. This is how we have slowed down the economy. So, please remember, we must think about these three things. The legal framework, is it economically efficient? The parliament, does it make good laws? Is it informed by good analysis? Who writes the laws? The administrative and regulatory system, is it maximizing transactions, making efficient transactions or not? Or is it slowing down transactions? Are those people just creating powerful games that are destroying transactions? And finally, the judiciary. If it is not a learned, informed judiciary, if it does not understand the value of transactions, it is destroying value in GDP. And in there, my friends, you will find the story of Pakistan, why we are not catching up with the rest. More later.
सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।